Pshus, Rebbeim, Tamei Chachamim, Chaveirim. I used to be here very often, so many of you don't know who I am. My name is Moshe Weinberger, and I had some wonderful years many, many years ago, and then a few years ago I was here also on a regular basis. And I miss very much being here. It's Erev Yontif, and there's a lot to talk about. But I want to begin by telling you, by sharing with you, an interesting custom that was in my home growing up. My father, Zichron Levracha, would play chess with me almost every Friday night. We would talk for a while. My father invariably would tell some stories about some of his experiences in the Holocaust that he wanted to give over to me. And then we would play chess. And from the time that I was little, I understood that there was some great meaning that my father attributed to this game. But one of the things that I remember so clearly is when it would be getting down to the end of the game. Thank you so much. When it would be getting down to the end of the game. And it was very intense. And my father was a very good chess player, and I was an aspiring chess player. And I would have my hand on one of the pieces to make a very important move. And I was thinking and thinking, and then I would look at my father, and I remember him going, don't do that. And then I would think a little bit longer, and I would make a better move. My father would have a look in his eyes of pride, and he was happy with that. It was good. It took many years for me to understand in a different way what Hashem Yisbarach is telling us right now from that chess game, those chess games with my father, Zichron Levracha. All the parashiyos that we're in now, the parashiyos of tshuva, the parashiyos of the end of the year, and the beginning of the year, Reina Sat Lefanecha, Zachayim Vesatoiv, as a marvis vesara, Hashem says, I give you choice. Chaim, life, toiv, good, marvis, ra. And then the Rosh Hashanah says, Nitzavim, uvacharta b'chaim, to choose life. And David HaMelech, in Tilim, David HaMelech says, in Kapitel Tazayim, he's thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu, and David HaMelech says, Ata toimich garoli. Baruch Shem, I want to thank you. You guide me to my goal. And Rashi says on that pasuk, and here's the chess game with my father, the Baruch Shem's our father. Now listen, Rashi says, Ata hu asha hani chay siyadi ala chelek atayv. There's so many times in life, David HaMelech is saying, that I'm about to make the wrong move. I'm going to make the wrong move. But you help me to, you move my hand over to the chelek hatoiv, to make a better choice. Shnema reina sakta finecha, uvacharta b'chaim. Rashi says, ka'odama oyhev echad mibonav. A marshal Rashi says, but there's a father who has some children, but there's one child in particular who he adores more than the others. And there are different chalakim that the father is giving out from the Yerusha, from his property. And Rashi says, Ka'odam ha'oyhev ech mibonav, u'miniach yodoy al achelak hatoyv. That the father directs the hand of his beloved son to the chelak hatoyv, to the better place. V'omer, he says, Ezeh b'char lecha. This is what you should choose. Ata taimech gerol, uvacharta v'chayim. So, of course, the obvious question is, what's the big revelation? What's the big sight? What's the secret to choose life? Every person from the time that he's Omer al Daito understands that if there's a choice between a bottle of poison, Chalila, and something that gives life, something that's wonderful and healthy, every normal and healthy person understands to choose life. But David HaMelech can't get over this midah of Hashem. Ata taimach gerali. Rabbi Shalom, like many, many years later, Weinberger's father is going to give him a wink when he's making the right move and move him towards that direction. Ata taimach gerali. So the question is, what's the chiddush that Hashem Yisbarach has to tell a person to choose life? It's instinctive, it's natural that a healthy, normal person chooses life. So have a listen carefully. Svarim teach us, this is something that was discussed by a great tzaddik. This particular part of the talk is discussed by the tzaddik of Matal Zilberzol, who I'm very close to. There are two mahalchim in this avoda of bechira, of uvacharta. The two mahalchim. The first mahalch is that a person tries to understand through his experiences, through his learning, through interacting with wise people, to understand the distinction between Tov and Ra. And as one matures and one understands more, he's able to identify that this is Tov, this is good, and therefore this is something in life that I should adapt, I should adjust to my life or my life to. This is Tov. And the person is oisis ha-toiv ki hu toiv. He wants to be good. He wants to do the right thing. His seichel, his learning, his experiences, his training is telling him, zeh toiv. So he chooses to do that which is good. And when it comes to evil, also, he understands, he matures, he grows to make that distinction between Tov and Ra. That's how the entire world, or a world, or that part of the world that cares about Tov and Ra, that cares about Bechir. That's how the world runs. With a Bechir is a Bechir between Tov and Ra. But there's a higher madriga than that. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. There's a higher madriga than that. And I guess by sharing the stories of tzaddikim that I know and that I knew, it's easiest to make it clear what I'm trying to get across to you. So my father, Zechon Levracha, when it was coming closer to his end, and it came time for Yom Kippur, so the doctor was very, very clear that there was no choice, that my father had to eat on Yom Kippur. And the doctor was also a Shomer Mitzvos, and he said that I will tell any Rav that I speak to, including your son, that you must eat on Yom Kippur. And that's what's required of you, according to Halacha. So when it came time, it was Erev Yom Kippur, for me to have this conversation with my father, just to make sure that he was going to do what he was told. My father was very, very weak. And he just smiled a little bit and he said, "No, I'm not eating on Yom Kippur." I said, "Daddy, you have to eat. That's what the doctor said, that you have to eat." And I started saying, well, the religious stuff, and I, you know, the right things from Shulchan Aruch. My father said, "Listen to me. I didn't eat Yom Kippur when I was in Mauthausen, concentration camp. I'm not eating on Yom Kippur in Farakwa. You understand that?" And he said, "I can't eat on Yom Kippur." So it was only with my crying and my mother's crying, not Shulchan Aruch, even though my father was a God-fearing person, with a lot of crying. And they threatened to call a certain Chassidish Rebbe that my father has derech eretz for. It was only with that that my father agreed to eat that Yom Kippur. There were Jews once upon a time, and there's still some in the world, for whom the choice between eating on Yom Kippur and not eating on Yom Kippur is not a bechira b'toiv or b'ra. So I can't live. I can't live without Yiddishkeit. I can't live that way. It's a choice between moves and chayim. I can't live that way. I remember when the rule was from the doctor that my father was absolutely not allowed to go out to daven, to the shtiebel that was around the corner, to go daven b'tzibur, unless it was over, it was in the winter, unless it was over freezing, unless it was over 32 degrees. So my father was up for an hour, hour and a half before davening. He had there was an outdoor thermometer by the window, and he was watching that it should get to 32. Nowadays, people are hoping that maybe it'll stay steady by 31, right? My father was looking at this thermometer, and he would start to get up, and it was like by 30. He'd start to get up to put on his coat, and he would say, "We're going." I said, "Daddy, it's only on 30. He said, "It's going, it's going." And I said, "We're not allowed to go till it's 32. My father said, I'm gonna miss brachas. It's already 30, it's the same as 32. I said, 32. So you stand there in this coat, and then it was 32. We went. That's not something that could be explained. It's not something that you could read in a book. It's not that my father, Zichron Levach, didn't care about halacha and didn't care about his health. His esek with Yiddishkeit was an esek with life. It wasn't an esek with what makes sense or what doesn't make sense. It wasn't a nisayon of tov and ra. It was different. Now, I want to explain what this means. The truth of the matter is that when we were working on a day to come, when I would be able to come, I didn't plan to come davke chayel, and it just happened that it was the only night that I had for you was tonight. And then I was very, very excited this morning, yesterday, when I realized that it's Chai El tonight, I'm going to be here with you. So Chai El, I think that many of you know, it's the day that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that the soul, the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came to this world. Also the Baal HaTanya, it's the yard site of the Maral, it's Chus Yilein. You know, normally our inyan is with yahrzeit, not with birthdays. Birthdays, the only birthday in Chumash is Yom Huled is Paro. We're not big on birthdays. But somehow it came down that by the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the inyan is when that life came into the world. Not when he left the world, but when he arrived in the world. As a matter of fact, when it comes to this yahrzeit, there's a machlokes whether it was the first day of Shavuos or the second day of Shavuos. In other words, it's not even clear when he died. We know that he died, but it's not clear exactly when. But it seems that with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, we're more concerned with when that neshama that would give life to the world came into being. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh wasn't the Chadesh really any new concepts, new great ideas in Yiddishkeit. There are certainly some Chidushim, as they were explained by the Talmidim and the Talmidim and the Talmidim. But the emes is that you all know that the Shoroshim, the roots of the Teres of Hashem, are found in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the Kisvei Ha'ari. It's from the world of the Shlo HaKadosh, the Maral. So Be'etzem, the ideas of Chassidus, the ideas of the Baal Shem, are all rooted in the minds of people who came before him, of tzaddikim who came before him. So what was the Baal Shem HaKadosh Mechadosh? Two words. V'chai b'hem. Long before the Baal Shem HaKadosh came into the world, there were words that were being learned, that were being taught, that Jews lived with. Ahavas Hashem, Ahavas Yisrael, Emuna, Tfila, Simcha, Eretz Yisrael. These were all from Chazal, from Tanakh, from Chazal, Rishonim, Achronim. And every single Jew grew up in a world hearing drushes and divrei Torah about Emunah and about Tefillah and about Simcha and about Eretz Yisrael and about Torah and so on. But the Baal Shem HaKadosh was sent into the world because the world, as the Sfarim say, the world was falling asleep, the world was dying, our world was dying. When Avraham Avinu came to the world, everybody knows that there was such a thing as belief in Hashem before Avraham Avinu. There were tzaddikim like Adam Rishon, his children, and his grandchildren. There were people who spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chanoch and Mesus Shelach. These were great philosophers and thinkers. And great tzaddikim. And we have a story that there were Sfarim that they wrote also on this inyan of HaKadosh Baruch, of the Creator. And there's no question that before Avraham Avinu, there were Yemei Iyun and seminars on the subject of beliefs. Of belief, and there was talk about God, about there being one God, and there was already some rumbling of monotheism that was in the world. But somehow, before Avraham Avinu, all of these words, all of the speeches, all of the Maram Akaimis, all of the seminars and lectures, all of the PhDs and degrees about God were not giving life to the world. And this strange person came into the world and he began to scream that there's a Baal HaBira, that there's a Lebedik of God, that God is alive and he loves us and he's here in this world with us. And Yirikir Hashem B'Shem Hashem Kel Oilam and Avraham Avinu began to scream to the entire world. He wasn't mechadesh a concept or an idea. The Baal Shem HaKadosh wasn't mechadesh a concept or an idea. It wasn't neo-monotheism, and there's no neo-chassidism. It never was about this idea or that idea. That's part of it, but that's a small part of it. Iver Kaddish Mishmaya Kanochis, Avraham Avinu came to the world to revive the world, to give life to the world. The Baal Shem HaKadosh was sent into this world. Ish Chai Rav Polim, to give life to the world. to begin to generate within the world a feeling of, I can't live without this. I choose life. Not because I understand all that it means, but I know that I can't live any other way other than this. So there's a marshal that I heard. You have to explain this, a very simple marshal. It's not just a marshal, there's actually something, there was a story that happened, that there was some tzaddik, it doesn't say his name, and this tzaddik had some serious heart problems, some heart issues. And he went to in Eretz Yisrael, he went to a very great cardiologist. Again, I don't know the name. He went to some great cardiologist. And they became very close. The cardiologist was a shliach to save this tzaddik's life. And over the course of time, they became very close. And the tzaddik asked the doctor, how did you become such a Baal Shem Tov? How did you acquire such a good name? Is it because you are the greatest practitioner of medicine, of cardiology in SSL? Who are you? What is the chiddush about what you've done and what you're doing? So the cardiologist said the following. He said, listen, Rabbi, I'll tell you the truth. The truth is that there are many, many cardiologists here in Eretz Yisrael that are more talented than I am. But there's a very big chilek between those cardiologists and myself. If you're asking, how did I get this reputation? And why did the Rebbe come to me? He said, some of these great doctors who are more talented than me, every now and then, a very wealthy Jew would come to them. Or maybe some Chaver Knesset, you know? Or some general from the army would come to that great doctor. And these are strong-willed, strong-minded people. And they would come to the doctor and they would have an operation. It was a heart attack, an operation, whatever it was. And the person was recuperating. And the doctor would say to this Chaver Knesset, or to this general, that I strongly recommend that you spend the next month at home, off your feet, resting. Invariably, these people who are very, very driven, after a week they were feeling better, because they were feeling better after a week. And these are not people that are used to lying in bed and having other people do things. So invariably, this doctor is telling your Rebbe, invariably, these patients, these politicians and wealthy patients, after a week or 10 days, they were up and around and they had to make up for lost work. So they were staying in the office longer hours than ever before. Another heart attack. So the doctor's telling the tzaddik, so what happened over time is that many of these patients began to believe that these doctors are not particularly capable. However, when a patient comes to me, this doctor said, when a patient comes to me, I tell him, whether he's a rich guy, a Chaver Knesset, or whatever he is, I tell him, listen, I want you to know that you must stay off your feet, you must rest, and I guarantee you 100% that if you go back to work within a month, that within 2 months, you're going to die. So my patients don't want to die. And because of that, they rest for a month or two, the time that they need in order to recuperate. And as a result of that, over time, over the years, I developed a shame tov that my patients have a high rate of survival. Demis is those other doctors are much better than me. But the way that those patients heard their doctors was, it's tov for you to stay in bed, and it would be ra for you to get back to work so quickly. My patients never heard that from me. My patients heard that it's a choice between life and death. If you want to live, listen to me. If you don't care and you want to die, then ignore me. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was traveling through all the shtetlach of Ukraine, Russia. He had kvitzes aderach. He was in Germany. He was in other places, Poland, all over the place. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh went, and along the way he met pshutim sheva pshutim, simple Jews. He met ga'onim. He had talmidim. There were ga'onim, the biggest talmidei chachamim. He met ganovim and gazlonim, and he met tzaddikim and rishoyim along the way. But somehow, the message that they heard from him, it wasn't the lecture, it wasn't the shir, it wasn't the yom iyun, there were no ma'ar makaymas, but somehow, through his personality, through the way that he taught, and the way that he lived, the way that he laughed, the way that he sang, the way that he smiled, that somehow he was able to impart to that generation and to set that generation on fire like Avraham Avinu in that way with V'chai B'hem. V'atim V'chai Yizkula. And he was able to somehow convey to that generation and to all future generations, those who are listening, that the way that you're keeping your Yiddishkeit, the way that you observe your Yiddishkeit, is not going to get you to sit in front of a thermometer waiting to go to shul, chalishing to go to shul when you're 93 years old and done. And it's not going to cause you to fall to pieces when the doctor says that you can't eat any Yom Kippur. It's not going to give you a feeling that Yiddishkeit is your very existence, your life. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was sent into the world to say to the world that the Yiddishkeit that you're keeping is not going to keep you alive as Jews. And I'm going to give you a prescription of a chai b'hem. And because of that, if you look at chassidus, and again, I'm hoping that I can be excused for being so chassidish tonight. It's Chai Elul. And if this is something that is not your taste, then that's okay. You'll be moichel me, and I'm moichel you, and I love you, and you love me. I hope. The chassidim always made, and the tzaddikim always made a tremendous esek. Davka about those things with the tzara shavish b'hem was the nishmas chayim. Let me give you some examples. Shabbos, the Zohar called this called Shabbos Yomid Nishmas. Shabbos is the day of the neshama. You heard the Michas Elazar, yeah? He was a big Talmud Chacham, you know that. The Michas Elazar had such a lashon that a yid who's learning on Shabbos is the same that he learns during the week. He hasn't crossed over the threshold of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. If you're learning on Shabbos, it's without neshama. Shabbos, we have a neshama yisayir. By the chassidim was an inyan to go to a Rebbe's tish, to be with a tzaddik, to be at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, to sit by a Shabbos table for 3-4 hours. 5 hours. And then to go to the tzaddik. Shabbos is yomid neshmasa. Anything that's nogea to life, anything that's in that world of the neshama, that's the chiyas, that's the oxygen of a Jew, but the chassidim is a big eisa. Simcha. So everybody knows about this. But chassidim, simcha is a big thing. Yeah, ask anybody. They say, yeah, the chassidim are they make a big deal about being happy. Because atzvus, if you look in the Svarim, if you look in the Zohar Kodesh and Kisvari, atzvus, sadness, depression, anxiety, misery, is death. Is mamish misa, is death. That's what Atzvus is, marashchayra. Simcha is to be alive. I can walk into a classroom, not because I have any ruach hakodesh. You just have to have a good eye. Over years, you get a good eye. And you can look at the chevra, and within 30 seconds, you can see the ones who are the marash charedik and the ones who are besimcha. And it comes out in everything. It comes out in their davening, simcha. It comes out in their marriages, leibedik, chiyas, with the children, with the wife, chiyas. Davening, nishmas kol chai. Davening is the life of the Jew. Chai isha, chai anishamas. It's the daven. To stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch. It's the chiyas of a Jew. His kashas to a tzaddik. When a chassid would go to the Rebbe, it wasn't just to hear some good Torah. Although you would get good Torah. There were tzaddikim who hardly spoke. We were just talking in the car. Rabbi Mendel of Urke said, hardly spoke, he said, they say he spoke 8 times in 40 years. He said Torah. But Rabbi Mendel of Urke would come, there were thousands of Jews that would come to the Tish. And the Bechias were Adlei V'Shamayim, the Bechias were Adlei V'Shamayim. And he would set those Jews on fire. To be with a tzaddik is to be alive and to feel that you're alive. I remember what it was like to be in the presence of the Lubavitcher Rebbe Schusselenu, of the Satmar Rav. I remember what it was like to be in the presence of my Rebbe Rav Dov Lifshitz, who wasn't zeichet to see this Beis Medrash, but I was with him together for years in the other Beis Medrash. When you're in the presence of a tzaddik, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I remember I mentioned the shul 2 weeks ago. I remember there was some sort of a kindness when I was a kid that all the yeshivas got together and we went to some huge hall in Borough Park from all the different modern yeshivas, the yeshivashi yeshivas, some chassidish yeshivas, thousands of boys. There was some kind of a thing for all of us to daven. I don't remember what was going on, but maybe it was the 6 day. I don't remember. It was a big thing and we all had to go daven or something. And at the dais, all the tzaddikim of America were at the dais, the Litvish, chassidish, all there. Was sitting there. And everybody, it was a big commotion. You can imagine, like 1,000 guys talking and tumbling. And we know what we're doing there. We just got a day off from school, which was great. And we were just having a good time. We're not sure what's happening. And all of a sudden, there was a hush that came over the room. Absolute silence. And all of the Rosh Yeshiva and the Rebbe, everybody stood up. And there was absolute silence. And we didn't know what was going on. All we could see was, we were looking and we saw that there was a little person like this tall that was rushing. He got to some, the person brought him a little bit late and he was rushing to get to his place. You know what his name was? Can you guess who? Rav Moshe Feinstein. You heard of him? And Rav Moshe the whole time was going like this. Oh, no. Oh, he was like this. Like this. The feeling when he walked in, I remember it. The feeling of coming to life. I can't explain it another way. It wasn't a fear. It was, this is it. When I was in the room before my chasna, I went from this place, from here, from Amsterdam Avenue. I went, it was a few weeks before the chasna, the Satmar Rav Ziyad Sabbos Chav Vav. It was a few weeks before he was nifter. I was zoichet to get a bracha. We were married. Now, Chav Beis El was our, when we were married. And I went to Satmar Rebbe to get a bracha. Kedushas Habris, the midah of what I mentioned before, Ben Ish Chai. Those of you that learned this form a little bit, you know that Chai, to be alive, with Kedushas Habris, that if a person, Chalila, is living a life, or he's living a life of ignoring Kedushas Habris, his life is filled with darkness, with pain, and with sadness. Then you have Kedushas Habris, Achias. So this form make a big deal about Kedushas Habris. Pnimiyas HaTorah, to learn Torah, all Torah is Kiyam Chayin Arach Yemeinu. There's nothing that gives more life than the Gemara Rashi Tosis, to learn a Ksois, to learn a Rebbe Kiv Eger. It's Chiyas. But to learn Torah together with the Baruch Shem, like the Bach says, and like the Moral writes, What it means to brach in Torah, b'Torah tchilut, you all know the Bach and Rabbah, what they say about that. It means there are many, many Jews that they could sit in the Beis HaMedrash all day long, and their learning is without chiyus, because it's without the Rosh. It's because a person could go, and he could sit in the Beis HaMedrash a whole year, and learn Masech Gittin, or could learn Ksuba Zechulim, whatever it is, and he doesn't think for a second that there's a Bayi Olam, and to think about the Schus, what it means, that every single word that I'm saying is, it's Kosh Baruch Hu speaking through my mouth, that Hashem's mind is in my mind, and like Reb Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim, like the Tanya writes in Tanya. Chassidus made a big deal and makes a big deal about life. So now we come back to where we began, and let's try to put things together. The question of Ubacharta Bachayim. Ubacharta Bachayim. Those words of Ubacharta Bachayim are the Makiba Pathish of the Parasha of Tshuva in Chumash. Ke'amitzvah Zois, this is Machlokes from Ban and Rambam. Moshe Rishonim holds that Ke'amitzvah Zois is referring to Tshuva. And the Torah says, he and so on. It's not in heaven. It's the parasha of Tshuva and Chumash. It's the Baruch Shalom's parting words. Moshe Rabbeinu's parting words in Chumash. And after all of that, the Torah says, "Hine nasat lefanach hasachaim v'satoy v'samovis v'sara u'bachar tabachai." Because this is what the Torah is saying to each one of us who has done things in our lives that we're ashamed of. The Torah is telling a person who has been nichshal. The Baruch Shalom is saying, my dear friend, your entire life you've been trying so hard to make good choices. You've been trying to choose between Tov and Ra. And you've learned a lot, and you studied a lot, and you've gone through the Gemaras and the Rambams, and you've gone through the Torah, and Beis Yosef, and Shulchan Aruch, and Mishnah Berurah, and Aruch HaShulchan, and you're all the way down to the Tshuvas of all the Achrayim, and you've learned what's right, and you've learned what's wrong, what a Jew should do, and what a Jew shouldn't do. But Imkol Zayis, Toshin Peveis, for many of us, including myself, was not the year that we were hoping that it would be. And there are things that I've done this past year that I regret doing, words that I'm ashamed that I said. And you all feel the same way, and you know that. And even though for years and years we've been in that mahalach of Tov and Ra, and trying to make good choices, which we have to do, but the way that we have somehow connected to Tov and Ra is like the doctors that are saying, you really need to do this. You really need to do this. It really is something, you should be a person that works on Shemiras HaLashon. You really should do this. And these are the halachas. You open up Shemiras HaLashon, you open up Chafetz Chaim. These are the halachas of Kedushas HaDibur. And every year, you and I stand, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Slichas, Svardim, already the whole month, and the rest of us, Ashkenazim, Slichas, and then Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the whole time. This year, it's going to be better than last year. And my choices, I understand now on a deeper level, I understand why I must choose that which is good. But if you really, really are able to enter into the world of tshuva, like if you go into the place of tshuva, like that's in the Urs HaTshuva from Rav Kook, if you're able to enter into that world of tshuva, the panimius of tshuva, the chiyus of tshuva, what tshuva really is. Then you could hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu whisper into your ear, v'chai behem. You could feel Hashem taking your hand, like we learned at the beginning. You could feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm begging you, it seems that all of my seichel and all that I've learned and all the shiurim and all the lectures haven't stopped me from the following behaviors. Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Hashem, Lebeganu, Gazalnu. All of the decision making, all of the truth that I know, all of the great discoveries that I've made in Torah and Halacha, they've helped me, there's no question about it. But this is the 30th year, the 20th year, the 30th year, the 40th year, and here I am again, and I've failed again. And here I am again, pressing the same button on the phone that I swore I would never touch again. That everything in my seichel tells me is ra and is ra. It's ra. It's bad. But you see, Rabbeinu Shloim, it seems that a Yiddishkeit that's only Yiddishkeit of Tov Ra hasn't saved me from ra. So Rabbeinu Shloim, I'm begging you this year, Rosh Hashanah Tov Shin Pei Gimel, at the time of Garali, I'm asking you, just like Rashi says, Hinachta Yodi Alachayim, Rabbi Shalom, I'm begging you to help me live a Yiddishkeit that's alive. Help me eat from the Etz Chaim, from Ilona Dechaya, not from the Etz Das Tevera. You know that in the Sforma Kedoshim, the Nigla of Torah, Shas and Poskim is called the Etz Das Tevera, because the entire Esek, when we're learning a Blad Gemara, when we're learning Halacha, is Mutu Nosur, Tami and Tar. That's the Etz Das Tevera. The Pnimi Sator, when you learn Pnimi Sator, that's the Ilona Dechai, it's a Chai. And I'm asking you this year, Lo Omus Ki Echye. Because Lo Omus, when Dodamel said Lo Omus Ki Echye, he wasn't talking about, I just want to be physically alive. He was saying, I want my Yiddishkeit to be filled with Simcha. I want my davening to be on fire. I want my Shabbos to be not just, you know, when can I get it? How long can I nap today? Or how can I get, what's the fastest davening? Well, you see what happened when people had a chance, because of COVID, people had a chance to go and to daven and to stay away from shul. They could save a half hour and they could get an hour up. There's still people that are davening outside of shuls in different places. To be able to save a half hour or to go to some lifeless minion that's, you know, begins and ends, the whole thing is an hour. I remember many years ago, I was giving a shmooze in the mountains, and the men were sitting on this. There was a mechitza, and the men were sitting over here, and the women were sitting over here, and I was standing and giving a shmooze. And I see Israel, you remember this story. So I was talking about, a friend of mine told me that in a neighborhood where he lives, they had a minyan Yom Kippur where they started davening at 8 o'clock and they finished at 11:30. And I was saying this and screaming like, could you imagine? I was like, you know, I was giving musa, very strong. That's when I was younger and I gave sichas musa then. And I was screaming and yelling about this. As I was saying this 8 to 11:30 thing, the women were all going like, what? And the men were all looking at each other, you know where it is? Where's the place? Loi omus ke echye. Loi amarte li tivcha betoiv, ela tivcha bechayim. When Rashi says that you put my hand and you said choose life. So the question we had at the beginning was, what's the chachma to choose life? Why is it a chachma to choose life? If you have a bottle of poison and you have a bottle of life, so every single year, this time of the year, we come to Rosh Hashanah and we said to the Baruch Shem in all of our davening, Zachreinu l'chayim, Melech Chovetz b'chayim, Kasveinu b'sefer chayim. Zoichi l'tzur b'chayim b'rachmim, Uksayiv l'chayim toivim, V'chassayim l'chayim toivim. The whole Indian of this time of the year is Uvacharta Bachayim. Choose a Yiddishkeit that's filled with life. I'm not saying Davka Chassidus. I'm not saying Davka the Baal Shem HaKadosh, that's for everybody. And even if I felt that way, which I do, I wouldn't say it publicly. But a Yiddishkeit of Uvacharta Bachayim. Not a Yiddishkeit of the Eitz Hadas Tovira. When Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah HaSinai, Hayoyim Azer Reinu, Ki Yedaber Elokim Esa'odam, what's the last word? V'chai. Hayoyim Azer Reinu, Ki Yedaber Elokim Esa'odam V'chai. Today we saw, Ki Yedaber Elokim Esa'odam V'chai. Today we saw, it means this, today we saw that a person can daven three times a day, can have three storm of learning a day, can keep every halach in Shulchan Aruch, and it's still not the etzem achayim of who he is. When it comes to ben hazmanim, he might not even pick up a sefer at all. When it comes to a little bit of a break in davening or a break in learning, there's a feeling of relief. Not that I'm walking away from life itself. Not that this is my existence. This is the air that I breathe. Hayoyim Azerinu ki yadar b'lukim esodem v'chai means today we learn, today we saw, the Baruch Shalom spoke to us panim upon him. And today we saw the Yiddishkeit is not just about doing this and not doing that. It's about Yadabra Elokim. It's about hearing the Rabbanu Shalom. About feeling the Rabbanu Shalom's presence. About living in his presence. And when a person lives Yiddishkeit that way, then Yiddishkeit is Yiddishkeit of Achai. Of Chai Elul. That's all that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was about. Not a new idea, but life itself. So I'm going to share with you a poem. And very often in shul, I read the poems of this remarkable woman. I never had the schus to meet her. Her real name is Sarah Rosenblatt. She had many other names that she used. And she wrote a book. She was a Balas Tshuva from Baltimore, who ended up in Meir Sharm as a breast of her Chassidus. And her own children didn't know that she was writing all of these poems along. And there are a couple of collections. They're being redone now. She has two collections of poems that are very, very special about her journey. And this one is called The Interview. Now, some of you might be Balei Tshuva, and you know that, and even those of you that are not, you know that one of the most annoying things that Balei Tshuva go through is that whenever they're guests in someone's house for Shabbos, the people want to know, how did you become a Balei Tshuva, right? Everybody wants to know, like, why did you do that? Of course, deeply hidden in that question is often, I never would have made such a choice myself. Had I been given the choice, why did you do that? I have no choice. But you're a Baal Bechira. That's really the question. Because first you hear about the person growing up, like, you know, on a surfboard someplace in California. The guy's got, you know, 12 girls on surfboards surrounding him. And this guy's living a certain life. And now, like, he's all serious and sitting at the table. And you're wondering, like, why did you do that? That's off the record, right? That's what I just said. But that, why did you make such a choice? So many Balei Tshuva of the years have shared with me how they find that it's, at some point it gets very annoying. Like, here we go. They just want to be able to, if they could play a tape, just to put on the tape, you know, what happened, to have some great epiphany somewhere. Whatever happened, you know, God appeared to them by Kiddush Levana or something. Well, I don't know. Whatever it was. Something happened where I fell off the roof and I landed on someone's schach and then I went onto the bed and I... Whatever the story is, you know, the kinds that they write up in all these books. So they have to tell over the whole ma'isa. So that's what this is about. It's called The Interview. So she writes the following. When asked, how did you come to Yiddishkeit? That's the big question. You have to ask yourself that question. You have to ask yourself that question. What, because you're from, you don't think you have to ask that question? How did you come to Yiddishkeit? I don't know who you are. You look beautiful. You're a from person. How did you come to, what's your name?
Ilan.
Ilan? So the Ilan of the Chai, that's your name, the tree of life. How did you come to Yiddishkeit? So if your answer is, at least I have my grandparents, my parents, you have to ask yourself, now, how did I come to Yiddishkeit? So when asked, how did you come to Yiddishkeit? My answer depends on who's asking. She writes, my answer depends on who's asking. To most, I say, I was befriended by a family. By a nice, firm family. That's very often the story. In parentheses, true, there was a family, and those were the logistics. There have to be logistics. To some, I say, to the more intellectual types, I say, I read books. There were books, providing an intellectual rationale for what goes far beyond the rational. So there were books. So for the ones who like to hear that, we'll talk in learning about the books. Those are that's why I came to Yiddishkeit. But now she's talking to a person that she loves, and she's telling the truth, the deepest truth. So she says, but for you, I think it's to her husband, only the truth will do. I was so faint with longing that the breath left my body. I couldn't catch it back. When I caught it back, I was someone else, and that's why. In the end, it wasn't the people that I met, although they were great and they helped me. And it wasn't the books that I read. The answer that you and I have to ask, to the question that you and I have to ask ourselves now, Elo, Acha Sha'alti Me'ez Hashem, Oysa Avakesh, the question we have to ask is, Rabbi Shalom, how did I come to you? How did I come to Yiddishkeit? I was so faint with longing that the breath left my body, I couldn't catch it back. When I caught it back, I was someone else. And that's why. So I want to give a bracha to each and every one of you. And to myself. That we should be zeichim et Hashem. To become svein v'sefer chayim. That each one of us should be nechtev and nechtem b'sifrim shel tzaddikim with our families, with all Jews everywhere in the world. That we should be zeichim to be written in the sefer chayim. But the sefer chayim means not just to live, but to be alive. That we should be zeichim et Hashem for that day we're going to be seeing the face of David Malka Mashiach. And we're going to say, Dov Melsel Chai V'Kai, Melsel Amitis, Mehbi Amen V'Amen V'Amen V'Amen.